Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with orthodox Christian doctrine, apologetic accuracy and discernment, but to help you become a faithful apprentice of Jesus Christ because life and truth matter. If you'd like to know more about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, great to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live when you dial 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information, and then on to our callers on the web, equip.org via the mail. It's box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultant standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Anyone listening to the broadcast for any period of time is well aware of the fact that December is the month we typically catch up. In other words, through much of the year, we do deficit spending. It's just the way it works. And then around the Christmas season, people generously give to the ministry. We catch up, and then we go into the same kind of cycle again. Of course, our prayer is always that the cycle can be broken. And that is what happens when people stand shoulder to shoulder with this one-of-a-kind ministry outreach in the battle for life and truth. Please give generously this month. You can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. And I hope many of you will consider as well becoming monthly CRI support team members. When you do, be pleased to send you a personalized copy of any one of my books, personalized to you, a family member, or a friend. There is no time like today to stand shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth with this ministry. Let's go to our first caller, Mark. He's listening in Bristol, Tennessee, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Mark.
Hi. Yes, sir. My question is, we're speaking with some folks, and they have said that they believe that the church is the same as spiritual Israel. And I've tried to research that, and I don't really know exactly where I stand on that, and wanted to get your what you believed on that.
Yeah, the church is true Israel. And one of the things that you have throughout all of Scripture is true Israel, as opposed to what Jesus says in Revelation, those who say they are Jews but are a synagogue of Satan. So going back to the Old Testament, you find that there's one chosen people, one covenant community, and they're not determined by gender or ethnicity. They're determined by belief in Yahweh, the God of Israel. And then they're gathered together around types and shadows that point forward to the coming Christ. And then in the New Testament, the words that are used about Israel are used about the people of God, a chosen people, a royal priesthood. So we believe in the priesthood of all believers, but again, it's not a function of our gender, our station in life, our genealogy. It is a function of being in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's why in Galatians chapter 3, Paul can say that Abraham only had one seed, not seeds plural, he says, but seed singular. The royal seed of Abraham is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if you are found in Jesus Christ, then you are true Israel. And you are an heir according to the promise. So just as the Old and New Testaments reveal only one chosen people, so too they reveal only one covenant community. And that one covenant community is physically rooted in the offspring of Abraham, but spiritually grounded in that one singular seed that I talked about earlier. And I think you see this beautifully illustrated or symbolized in the book of Romans as a cultivated olive tree, not two olive trees, but one. The branches symbolize those who believe. Its root symbolizes Jesus Christ, who is the root and the offspring of David. Of course, natural branches broken off represent Jews who reject the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and wild branches grafted in the metaphor represent Gentiles who receive Jesus Christ. And that's why Paul can say, not all who are descended from Israel are Israel, nor because they are his descendants are they all Abraham's children. In other words, it's not the natural children who are God's children, but it is the children of the promise who are regarded as Abraham's offspring. Why? Once again, because Jesus is that one genuine seed, and all clothed in Christ constitute one congruent, chosen covenant community, so beautifully, so wonderfully connected by the cross. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Shamika next. She's listening in Hampton, Georgia, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Shamika.
Hi, Hank. I wanted to ask you about the Old Testament dietary laws, because I've read some things in Leviticus and in Deuteronomy, and, you know, there are people who would tell me that we were no longer under that law. And just recently I had a friend that directed me to a scripture. I can't remember the book, it starts with a C, that says, let no man judge you in meat or drink. And I just wanted to know, is that, how are we still under the law or not?
Yeah, good question. And I think the passage you're referring to is 1 Timothy chapter 4, but you can also look at what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ himself said. In Mark, you have a wonderful rendition of the words of our Lord where he says, nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean. And after he had left the crowd and he had entered into a house, the disciples then come up to him and they ask him about what he was talking about. And then Jesus explains, he says, are you dull of hearing? You don't get the simple verities of spiritual faith? Don't you see that nothing that enters a man from the outside can make him unclean? For it doesn't go into his heart, but it goes into his stomach and then out of his body. And in saying that, Mark says, Jesus declared all foods clean. So there are civil and ceremonial laws. They are fulfilled in Jesus Christ, just as the sacrificial laws are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. We would never think about going back to temple priest and sacrifice, because Hebrews says that would be an abomination. That would be trampling upon the sacred blood of Jesus Christ. In the same fashion, we should never contemplate the idea that we have to go back to laws within the context of a theocratic kingdom, the direct rule of God over a people.
Okay, that makes sense.
Okay. And remember that laws in Scripture are used in various ways. They're used to maintain order in society. They're used to reveal sin. They become, in that sense, the schoolmaster that drives us to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But the civil aspect of the law is largely a function of a theocratic kingdom, and as a result of that, fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And of course, there are laws that are guides for the believer in living out the Christian life. Those laws aren't abrogated. They are still efficacious. We are to keep the Ten Commandments, including the fourth commandment, which we keep by seeing our rest in Jesus Christ. That's, by the way, why we celebrate on the first day of the week, because in Christ we have our Sabbath rest.
Right. Okay. I appreciate it, because I've been very, very puzzled with, you know, people keeping the Old Testament laws, and then some people saying, no, we don't have to do that anymore. And, you know, it can be confusing when you're trying to figure out what the truth is in the scripture, and then some people make it sound how they want it to sound. And, you know, that's, you know, a lot of clarification for me. I just want to do right and follow what I should follow, or, you know, leave the past in the past as it should be.
Sure. I'm so glad you asked the question. I put together a book called The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, answer many of these kinds of questions. Shamika, something that's so important for all of us to grasp is you can't understand the Bible as a whole without understanding its individual parts, nor its individual parts without understanding the Bible as a whole. So it's important to read through the whole of Scripture and kind of get the box top. But it's also important, as you're doing with your question, grappling with the individual pieces.
Yes. I thank you so very much.
Well, it was a pleasure talking to you. God bless you.
You too. Thank you very much.
You got it. Pierre next in Grand Ridge, Florida, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Pierre.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Thanks for taking my call. I was going to ask about 1 Corinthians 11 and order of worship, like women's head covering, and where that has, what place that has in worship today. If God's ahead of Christ, Christ's ahead of man, man's ahead of woman, and if that's a cultural thing, or if it has a place in the church today.
Well, I think the principle behind the custom of a woman having a head cover is absolute, but the custom itself is not. So again, it's the principle that's absolute. It's not the custom that is absolute. There's a difference between a scriptural command and a cultural custom. The commands of Scripture are inviolate. The cultural customs are not. So I was in Iran at the University of Tehran, and while I was there, I got kissed by more Persians than you could imagine on both sides of the cheek. Well, we're not used to doing that in the West. But they were showing respect for me as I was showing respect for them so that we could have a communication as opposed to a we-they-siege mentality. And I think the same thing in terms of principle is expressed in the West, but we do it in just a different way. So the principle is inviolate. The way in which it's practiced differs from one culture to another. Back to the phone lines. Paul in Wichita, Kansas, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Paul.
Hi. It's kind of a complicated question, but I'm sure you can handle it. My daughter committed adultery, and she went back to the church to repent, go to the altar, try to save her marriage. And the pastor there has told her he needs a couple days to think about this, and if he allows her back in the church, all is good. But if he decides not to, he's going to tell the whole church everything that she has done. And I'm wondering if that's a correct application of Scripture, because it doesn't sound that way.
Well, I think what's really interesting in this particular case is, as you've described it, you have a daughter who is repentant. And what a beautiful thing that is. When we sin, we repent. We fall upon the grace and mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and then we are restored. That does not mean that we can sin with impunity, because whenever there is sin, particularly the sin of adultery, there are consequences to that sin. Those consequences, they follow us like night follows day. But the forgiveness is the wonderful thing that the Lord gives unto us so that we can be restored to fellowship. Now, if someone is unrepentant, then Paul gives a prescription in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Then there's excommunication, and the reason for excommunication is so that there might be repentance. But there's no need for excommunication if repentance is genuinely there. Then what's needed from a gifted pastor is the work of reconciliation, restoration within the family, immediate, and then the broader family of Christ. But there are a lot of things that do not need to be publicly proclaimed. They can be handled privately as long as there is genuine repentance.
Okay. That kind of answers my question. That'll work. That'll give me something to start talking to my daughter about. So.
Wonderful. And what a great thing that she has repented. I mean, that's the most wonderful thing of all. You know, repentance is a U-turn on the road of life. It's not merely a change of heart or a change of mind. It is a change of the will. It is turning and saying, I'm going in a different direction. And when we do, God can restore the years that the locusts have eaten. He can use even these horrible events in our lives. Coming up to station break, as you can hear from the music, we'll be back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions. Do remember that we need many of you to consider joining the monthly CRI support team. When you do, be pleased to send you one of my books personalized to you, a family member, or a friend. It's easy as going to equip.org/donate on the web. Again, equip.org/donate. We'll be right back, so please don't touch that dial.
Have you considered in your Christmas shopping list what could be one of the best gifts you'll ever make? If not, consider this. Countless thousands of spiritually hungry, earnest seekers after truth are led astray each day by prosperity preachers, mongers of millennial madness, and New Age gurus, to name only a few. Yet your special Christmas gift today can help provide genuinely biblical truths that set people free. To make a mind-changing and life-changing gift today, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return in just a few moments. With the new atheists increasing their mockery of Christianity and militant secularism ridiculing religious convictions of all stripes, we clearly don't need zealous but misguided Christians inviting further abuse by misreading and misrepresenting biblical prophecies. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will enable you to understand, remember, and communicate biblical prophecy. Moreover, your investment in Prophetic Stars through the Christian Research Institute will equip and encourage eager Christian brothers and sisters who genuinely yearn for truth and reliable tools to apprehend and defend their faith. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute are passionately focused on the ABCs. That's apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults, including world religions such as Islam. Make no mistake, there is a rising tide of militant secularism and anti-Christian thinking. Christians worldwide need to be equipped with ABC resources. For if we lose the war on these fronts, our children and grandchildren could inherit the horrors of history that are the absolute antithesis of the meaning of this Christmas season. Reflecting on the genocide that took place under Soviet communism, Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote, "Men have forgotten God. That's why all this happened." To enable CRI to equip Christians worldwide with vital ABC resources, simply call 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org, equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day, or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-Minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org.
The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. In our day, biblical literacy has plummeted to dangerous levels, such that many Christians embrace wildly distorted notions of the scriptures, from bizarre end-time predictions centering on four blood moons to health and wealth theologies. The Christian Research Institute is combating biblical illiteracy with resources accessible around the globe. To help CRI's efforts in equipping Christians to become biblically literate, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. And here again is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our telephone callers. Next up is David, listening in Columbia, Missouri, Bot Radio. Hi, David.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey. So I had a question about marriage and the definition of marriage as it relates to the government as an institution, of marriage as an institution in the government versus what Christians believe. And, you know, just, I know there's a lot of debate about the definition of marriage changing, but I do wonder if the government's rule that gays can be married really does change the definition of marriage, or if that's just the legal definition and then there's a Christian definition of marriage that is separate.
Well, I think there's an objective and immutable nature to marriage. It's a unique, it's a permanent, it's a comprehensive union of two people, one man and one woman, the natural end of which is the bearing and the rearing of children. And not only is this fact knowable, it is morally binding on all people at all times. To violate this, again, is to wreak havoc on a civilization because it is a violation of natural law.
Yes, I understand that. I think, you know, when it was called a civil union, there didn't seem to be as much, as many people upset. And it just seems like when the name was changed and it was called marriage, that it really took on a new life and became a political and more of a something as a talking point. But when the civil union was around, it was the same thing. It was just called something different.
Well, again, if we're talking about redefinition of marriage, and I think that's the question that you asked, it's important for us to say that enshrining a false definition of marriage and making that law is like flooding the economy with counterfeit money. Everything is ultimately devalued. And the reason for that is rights come from nature, and nature comes from God. And if you deny that, then you are denying the basis of all other rights. And in the end, therefore, redefining marriage gravely undermines the foundations of human civilization. This has always been a concern, but it becomes a particular and specific concern when this is foisted upon many people by enshrining a false definition and then doing it by way of law. And I think the reason that people are exercised about this is because of the ramifications, the implications. All of the sociological metrics, and I've said this many times on the broadcast, and I don't think it's a debatable point. All the sociological metrics point to the same reality, and that is gender-differentiated marriage is best for children. And thus, if you care about the most vulnerable among us, then you care about a proper definition of marriage.
I think I do understand what you're saying. And, you know, I guess I struggle with the question of whether it should matter as a Christian what the government says, because even if you took away that definition, two gay people can still live together and they can still, you know, have children in a household. All that other stuff exists. And I wonder if the calling it marriage is starting to kind of confuse the issue about, you know, what's really important and what's what's not important.
Well, I think this is a critical kind of thing. And the reason, again, as I articulated earlier, is by way of analogy, if you are flooding the market with counterfeits, it devalues the real. So it's not just a provincial or parochial problem, but it is a ubiquitous problem. It affects everyone in many different ways. So it has ramifications that are very, very significant. And as I explained before, it also relates to the fact that this is a violation of natural law. And thus, you end up through making this a law, you undermine other basic rights. And so there's a cascading effect that takes place with all of this. But from a Christian perspective, we say God has spoken, and therefore we have to be equipped to communicate the truth of Scripture with gentleness and with respect. I often say that tolerance when it comes to personal relationships is a virtue, but tolerance when it comes to truth is sin. We must make sure that we have the right attitude when we communicate what we communicate. We can preach the right things in the wrong ways. We can be too aggressive or too meek. And when either conviction or compassion is compromised, we need to do some self-introspection. And then I don't think we should ever yield on this issue because of political correctness. Our consciences are held captive to the Word of God. To act against our conscience is neither right nor safe. The temptation, of course, to yield to cultural norms is going to continue to be oppressive. It's going to be pressed upon us with increasing ferocity. And to yield is to abandon the very call that God has placed upon our collective lives. This is not a trifling matter. Is sort of the bottom line takeaway from all of this.
And I think what you said, it makes a lot of, you know, that's very well put. I guess, you know, I go, one thing I refer back to, and maybe you can correct me on the way I think about this, but when Jesus said, "Give unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and give unto the Lord what is the Lord," I've always kind of interpreted to that as, you know, that your time and your money should go to God, and a separate amount, you know, should be dedicated to the government and to those kind of things. And I just wonder if, you know, if that has any stand, like any bearing here, where it's like, why should we be fighting against the government in this situation that we don't believe in, or should we be preaching and teaching what we do believe from a religious standpoint?
Well, sure, and both are true. It's not an either or. Again, if we care about the most vulnerable amongst us, then we can't say it's not affecting my life directly right now, and therefore I'm not going to weigh in on the battle. It's affecting other people that are vulnerable, and therefore we ought to weigh in. But your point is well taken. I mean, ultimately, when you change a person's heart, you change the behavior of that person. And I think looking at what's happening in society, so often we say, "I can't believe what those pagans are doing," or something like that. But pagans are always going to exercise their job description. What else would they do? The question becomes, are Christians going to exercise their job description? The reason that the culture corrodes is because the salt has been taken out of it. And when the salt has been taken out of it, then it's no longer worth anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot, as Jesus said. If the salt loses its saltiness, no longer has any impact. So, again, your point well taken.
Well, I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Hey, I appreciate your time as well. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Kelly. She's listening in Manson, North Carolina, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am blessed, praise Yah.
And your Hello? Question, yes.
Yes, and my question is, this is what the question is. All right, my husband, he wants to celebrate. I'm a Christian. My husband is not. And I, you know, gave my life back to God once my husband and I, we had got married. Anyway, the thing of it is, he wants to celebrate it. I don't. He wanted, you know, like Thanksgiving, all of that stuff. And I was under the impression, because I was listening to a broadcast that you was on before, and it said that you was telling the gentleman that he had misinterpret information, you know, because he said he had researched it on the internet. Same as I. You know, I went on there, found the paper, you know, was talking about all of the different pagan holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter, all of that. Okay, my thing is, my husband wants to do it. I don't want to do it because I feel like, you know, that's pagan holidays because of when Constantine brought Christmas into existence back in 300 B.C. So could you correct me and tell me which direction really should I be going?
Yeah, I think the first thing, and you allude to this in the prologue to the question, make sure of your history. There are a lot of things that are attributed to Emperor Constantine that should not be attributed to him. But as far as celebrating or not celebrating, each person should be convinced in their own heart. I don't think there should be any mandatory nature to celebrating the birth of our Lord on December 25th. But on the other hand, I think it's also something that someone can in good conscience do. Remember that when Christmas was originally instituted, December 25th was indeed, and you allude to this, it was a pagan festival. It commemorated the birthday of a false god. That's
right,
a historical fact.
Right.
Yeah. But what is, well, more than that, but what is frequently overlooked is that the church's choice of this date was intentional. So they were not Christianizing a pagan festival or engaging in paganism. The church was establishing a rival celebration. And of course, the world has all but forgotten the Greco-Roman gods of antiquity. But they're annually reminded that 2,000 years ago, Christ invaded time and space. So if you're looking at the main and the plain thing, I think that's it. Use every opportunity to communicate the grace and love and peace that only Jesus Christ can bring to the human heart. And if you feel convicted in your heart that you cannot celebrate Christmas because of its pagan trappings, and certainly there are a lot of them, don't do it. But if you can find it in your heart to see Christmas as an opportunity to share what is really important, then take this time, whatever you do about the celebrations, take this time and make a concerted effort to pray, Lord, use me as a testimony of your grace. May your light shine through me so that I can impact a lost and searching world. Lord, bring people and circumstances into my life so that I can be an arbiter of the life and truth of the historic Christian faith. Pray for that this Christmas season, whether you celebrate it or not.
Is that the same thing for us like Thanksgiving? Because like Thanksgiving, you know, like I said, you know, I mean, I did some research on the internet as well. And on Thanksgiving, they say that that was the time when they slaughtered the Indians and then the pilgrims sit down and had a feast over it.
Well, again, I think that there are all kinds of atrocities of history, some ill-communicated, some historical revisionism, but when we're celebrating Thanksgiving, what we are doing is we are celebrating a time in which Christ, again, is preeminent, and we realize that every good and gracious gift comes from His hand. So, rather than curse the darkness, build a lighthouse in the midst of the gathering storm. We'll be right back.
Christians agree that life and truth are important. But have you considered how the absence of truth can actually ruin lives? How distortions of truth can lead people to make tragic decisions affecting not only their lives, but also the lives of others? This Christmas, as we celebrate the birth of the one who is the way and the truth and the life, why not help others to continue receiving biblical truth through the Bible Answer Man broadcast? To make a Christmas gift that can transform lives, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.
We'll be back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so stay tuned.
Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices.
Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute are passionately focused on the ABCs. That's apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults, including world religions such as Islam. Make no mistake, there is a rising tide of militant secularism and anti-Christian thinking. Christians worldwide need to be equipped with ABC resources, for if we lose the war on these fronts, our children and grandchildren could inherit the horrors of history that are the absolute antithesis of the meaning of this Christmas season. Reflecting on the genocide that took place under Soviet communism, Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote, "Men have forgotten God. That's why all this happened." To enable CRI to equip Christians worldwide with vital ABC resources, simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org, equip.org. Endless predictions about end-time events and published timetables counting down the end have proven to be wrong 100% of the time. When doomsday predictions fail, there is double-duty damage. Many theologically juvenile and scripturally superficial Christians abandon the faith as a result of these failed predictions, and the public image of Christianity is damaged, making Christians appear to be hopelessly naive and easily duped biblical bumpkins. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will equip you not only to interpret biblical prophecy correctly, but to remember it as well. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Both at home and abroad, multitudes of Christians, due largely to limited biblical literacy and no understanding of apologetics, are being taken in by well-funded and aggressive cults. This Christmas, as we rejoice in the birth of the one who came that we might have eternal life, we invite you to stand shoulder to shoulder with Hank and the Christian Research Institute so that God's truth in Christ can be a brilliant beacon of light to those in spiritual and intellectual darkness. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Corinna. She's listening in Oklahoma on Bot Radio. Hi.
Hi. I have a question that you had talked about a couple of days ago about how what my husband and I were talking about is, are we going to go through some of the tribulation before Jesus returns, or are we going to meet up with Jesus before the tribulation happens?
Well, you know, there certainly in biblical context was an Old Testament Antichrist and a tribulation. Jesus talks about the tribulation that involved the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel. And then he uses that tribulation to point forward to another tribulation that would take place when Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed. And then Jesus also makes plain that in this world, we will have tribulation, but take heart, he has overcome the world. So there's a sense in which there were great tribulations in Scripture, in which believers were told to be faithful, they would suffer for a short time, and their vindication would be an eternal vindication. And those tribulations are tribulations that point to the fact that in this world, we too are going to suffer. For those who take the name of Christ seriously, whose worldview and what they do identifies them with Jesus Christ, they are going to suffer for the sake of Christ. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you also, Jesus said. And he said, right. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you on account of me. Rejoice, be glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So persecution is the lot of the Christian, as is tribulation. The only thing we're called to do is be faithful. But the fact that there was a great tribulation under Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes and a great tribulation prophesied by Jesus Christ, which happened when the temple in Jerusalem were destroyed, does not mean that there's going to be a facsimile in the exact same way in the future. In fact, there are tribulations in every epoch of time. If you would have lived during the Holocaust, you would have experienced tribulation. At the beginning right. of the show, I was talking about Smyrna in Asia Minor and the burning of this city and the massacre of its Christian inhabitants. That's a tribulation. If you're in Syria, and you realize that there are about 1.1 million Christians there, and now somewhere in the vicinity of 700,000 to 800,000 of them have been exiled, executed, crucified, etc. This is great tribulation that they are in the present experiencing as believers in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So there's no way of getting out of tribulation as long as you are in this world.
Well, what I meant was like, okay, you were talking about how when Jesus comes back to take his people, the Christians, and then after Jesus comes back, there'll be a great, and that's what I was talking about, like a great tribulation.
So you're talking about the pre-tribulational rapture theory. It's a prevalent theory in the church today that during a secret coming in the not-too-distant future, 21st-century followers of Jesus are going to be miraculously transported to heaven. And during that same time period on earth, 21st-century Jews are going to experience a seven-year tribulation of mythic proportions that is due to the murder of their Messiah by their ancestors. So the idea there is that Christians get raptured and two-thirds of the Jews are reduced to bloody corpses. Yeah, it's very, very popular because of a number of factors, including in the modern epic, the Left Behind series by Dr. Tim LaHaye. He uses monikers like the Day of Israel's Calamity or Antichrist's Final Solution to the Jewish Problem to communicate that there's going to be a nightmarish Holocaust for Jews. And then concurrent with the carnage, there's going to be a soul harvest as a result of the proselytizing efforts of 144,000 Jewish virgins. And then 7 years after the secret coming of Christ, there's going to be a second coming during which Christians are going to return to earth with Christ for a thousand-year semi-golden age. There's going to be a rebuilt temple, reinstituted temple sacrifices. If that's what you're talking about, there's no biblical warrant for that whatsoever. I mean, it was a theory that was concocted predominantly in the 19th century. I don't think that there's any biblical basis for it.
Okay. Okay, well, thank you very much. And I listen to your show, and I really like it a lot.
Well, thank you so much. And, let me do a little more of a deep dive on that, because I can say there's no biblical warrant for it. But the reason I say that is the notion of a secret coming of Christ was unheard of in biblical history. It changed as a result of a notion that God has two distinct people with two distinct plans, necessitating two distinct phases of the second coming. And what I pointed out in my writings is that there's not a single passage in Scripture that speaks of Christ coming secretly to resurrect and rapture Christians for 7 years of heavenly bliss. In fact, there's not a collection of passages that points that out. In fact, these are the clear words of Jesus. Time is coming when all who are in the grave will come out, some will rise to live, and some will rise to be condemned. So the plain, the literal sense of the Lord's word suggests a moment in the future when both the righteous and the unrighteous are going to be resurrected and judged together, together being the operative word. The notion that believers are going to be raptured during a secret coming prior to the resurrection of unbelievers is an imposition on the text. Not only that, but there's no text whatsoever to validate the notion that a vast majority of Jews are going to die in the 21st century in some kind of a Holocaust. In fact, a future seven-year tribulation is conspicuous by its absence in the whole of Scripture. You find tribulations in the past. They were prophesied. The prophecy came to pass exactly as prophesied, demonstrating the Bible's reliable. But there's no warrant to drive those tribulations into the 21st century. The other thing I would say is, just as there's no biblical warrant for a secret coming or a future seven-year tribulation, I don't think there's a biblical warrant for believing in a second chance for salvation after the second coming of Jesus Christ. Christ is clear. All given to him by the Father are going to be raised on the last day. And Paul points out that the liberation of creation goes hand in hand with the redemption of our bodies. So I think we can be certain that no one is going to be saved during a millennial semi-golden age following the second coming of Jesus Christ. The notion that our bodies are redeemed at the rapture and then earth is liberated from bondage to decay, well, I think it's 1,007 years if you calculate it out, so 1,000 years, 7 years later, it just doesn't have any biblical precedent. At the second coming, the bride of Christ, the church universal, is complete. No one else can be saved. So while the notion that 21st century Christians are destined for 7 years of bliss and Jews for a Holocaust of unparalleled proportions is trumpeted in current Christianity with great bravado, I don't think it's good Bible. I've written about this in a number of different places. There's actually a little section on this in my book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences. You can find the book on the web at equip.org. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Dave in Alberta, Canada, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Dave.
Hey, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Nice talking to you.
Yes, I have a question here. Is it wrong to substitute grape juice for wine during communion?
Well, if someone substitutes grape juice for a wine, I would ask the question, why? The traditional way in which communion has been served throughout church history is with bread and wine, but I don't think it is a mortal sin to substitute grape juice for wine, no.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because the church I attend, they use grape juice instead of wine, and I was just wondering about that.
I think what's really important is to take serious communion in general, the Lord's table or the Eucharist or the Mass. It's used with various monikers because Mass means, for example, mission. Eucharist is the Thanksgiving meal, the Lord's table. But it's all referring to the fact that we should partake of the Lord's body and his blood, and that by doing that, we are experiencing the real presence of Jesus Christ, and that empowers us to live not by might nor by power, but by his Spirit. And failing to do that or partaking of communion in an unworthy manner leads to something quite serious. According to the Apostle Paul, he says that as a result of that, many are sick and some of you have died. So the real issue is understanding communion, taking communion in community, and recognizing that it is a way by which we can partake of the real presence of Jesus Christ and experience what is biblically known as the engrafted life of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Okay, yeah. Thank you very much, and I've been listening to you for a few months now, and enjoy your show.
Thank you. I'm writing about communion as we speak. Give further details when my newest book comes out. That'll be a while, but anticipate that perhaps. And remember, all of the things that I talk about on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, you can find in my writings, certainly, as I mentioned, people who are worried about a great tribulation, whether they're going to go through it or whether they're going to get raptured or where the idea came from to begin with. I'm not asking anybody to believe me, but simply test what I've written or sit on the radio in light of Scripture. Hold fast to that which is good. Also, very important to remember that there are main and plain things and there are secondary things, which is to say, in the essentials, there must be unity. In the non-essentials, there must be liberty. And in all things, there must be charity. For those of you listening in that would like to join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, we would deeply appreciate it. Maybe more broadly understood, it's not just supporting the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but the Christian Research Institute and its many outreach ministries around the world. For those of you who are supporting the ministry, please accept my deepest gratitude for your partnership and the difference it makes in so many lives, and especially for all that your support means in these final days of 2015. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. When you do that, you turbocharge the ministry, touch the lives of people all over the world. Please join us as we stand shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. We're out of time. We'll see you next time with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and to live Christianly. This Christmas, as we celebrate the birth of the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, why not help others to continue receiving biblical truth in Christ through the Bible Answer Man broadcast? To make a Christmas gift that can transform lives, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. With the new atheists increasing their mockery of Christianity and militant secularism ridiculing religious convictions of all stripes, we clearly don't need zealous but misguided Christians inviting further abuse by misreading and misrepresenting biblical prophecies. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will enable you to understand, remember, and communicate biblical prophecy. Moreover, your investment in Prophetic Stars through the Christian Research Institute will equip and encourage eager Christian brothers and sisters who genuinely yearn for truth and reliable tools to apprehend and defend their faith. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute are passionately focused on the ABCs. That's apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults, including world religions such as Islam. Make no mistake, there is a rising tide of militant secularism and anti-Christian thinking. Christians worldwide need to be equipped with ABC resources, for if we lose the war on these fronts, our children and grandchildren could inherit the horrors of history that are the absolute antithesis of the meaning of this Christmas season.
Reflecting on the genocide that took place under Soviet communism, Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote, "Men have forgotten God. That's why all this happened." To enable CRI to equip Christians worldwide with vital ABC resources, simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org.